May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A recent cartoon in an online leadership journal shows an Episcopal bishop standing outside of his house, knocking at the front door. His wife answers. He is carrying his mitre, his staff, his books from his office, his framed degree, and the caption reads, "I told them the truth, and they set me free." Telling the truth and being set free. The diminishment of the place of truth in secular society, and especially in America, seems heightened in the 21st century. Whatever your political affiliation, you can become greatly discouraged by the manipulation of the truth for personal gain. We as a nation have suffered because so many of our elected officials in government, not all, but many, do not lead from the place of truth. And many times we know it goes beyond manipulation to flat-out lies, the television first, and more in the 21st century, the internet and the social media, the blogs, the mediums through which untruths are hurled back and forth from all sides. This is apparently now the norm, the culture in which we are raising our children and grandchildren. And we wonder why perhaps their own telling of the truth seems a lesser value than in past generations. I had the privilege of spending Friday evening and all day yesterday in leadership training with Bishop Hahn, Kay Collier McLaughlin, lay leadership and diocesan clergy at what I would call our sister parish, St. John's in Corbin. It was my first time to that part of the diocese, 75 south. It is hard for me now living in a state where the mountains are south. We lived in Georgia, you went north to the mountains. We lived in South Carolina, you went north to the mountains. When we grew up on Long Island, you went up north to the mountains. And so yesterday when I was returning home late, early evening, and I saw myself on 75 north, I went, oh my gosh, I'm going the wrong way. What was interesting is that our leadership training was based essentially on how we as lay people and how we as ordained leaders lead from a place of truth. And it was remarkable to me as how this coincided with the sermon that I had written on Wednesday and Thursday of this past week. Within the 8th chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus proclaims, "The truth shall make you free." The truth shall make you free. And of course, that's the caption joke of that leadership cartoon. The truth shall make you free. Do we believe these words of Christ? If they are true, why does all everywhere not embrace the truth? After all, wouldn't that set humanity free? Many years ago, Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote in a classic work, The Conduct of Life, "The highest compact we can make with our fellow is, let there be truth between us forevermore." Let there be truth between us forevermore. Instead, this morass of untruth surrounds us, and it may discourage you like it does me in our society and in our daily living. What are we as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ, to do? In today's gospel, a wonderful passage from Luke, Jesus tells them a parable, again, a short story with a point, a truth, sometimes a bit hidden, but there it is. And he says to them in that parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Most of us at times have lost heart, and we've had our hearts broken. Pray always and do not lose heart. And as complex as the cultural problem of truth seems to be, Christ gives us a very poignant and a very simple answer, yet one that requires hard work and perseverance to carry out. As members of the body of Christ, we are called. We are called by Him to be faithful in prayer. And this begins with our personal commitment to keeping the Sabbath holy by worshiping in church, by worshiping on weekdays, and by committing to a daily life that has a regular time for prayer, for conversation, and for listening, for quiet time with God. This calling from Jesus Christ provides the very ground and groundedness upon which you can live in truth, in spite of what surrounds us in our world. Living in truth begins by living your life in and with prayer. George Herbert, in an essay entitled "The Church Porch," wrote these words: "Dare to be true. Dare to be true. Nothing can need a lie." Prayer is what empowers you, empowers me to live true lives of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is good news. Most of us would agree that there's not enough good news, good stories, either in the newspaper or on television or on the internet or on Facebook, wherever it might be. But the good news is that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Christ, in this parable of the widow and the judge, inspires us as we seek the truth to never lose heart. It's a great story. We hear of a widow, which in 21st century America, to be a widow is not an easy thing. To be a single parent is not an easy thing. To be divorced is not an easy thing. And sometimes to be married is not an easy thing. But what we know is that in first century Palestine, to be a widow meant that you were pretty much the lower echelon of society. Widows and orphans. That's why Jesus spends so much time on them. And the widow, this powerless woman, keeps going to who Jesus describes as an unjust judge, a lousy guy, a guy that has no interest in justice. Pretty much Jesus says, this is a guy that doesn't care what anybody thinks about him. He really doesn't care what you're bringing to him. It's going to be according to his will and only his will. In fact, it's a judge that doesn't have any belief in God or consideration of God. And this woman keeps coming to him. with her request. And he's able to stand it only so long. She just keeps coming. One of the Gospels has her knocking at the door, pounding. And finally, the unjust judge goes, "Oh, for crying out loud. I'm going to give you what you want so you'll go away." She wears him down, and he grants her justice. And Jesus concludes in this parable then that our just God will, of course, grant us justice when we cry to him day and night. This is an invitation, if you will, to wear God down. There are lots of voices competing for God. And what Jesus is saying is, don't stop with your request. Whatever is on your heart today, whatever you are in need of, whomever you are praying for, continue to ask God. Whatever burden you might need to be relieved of, whatever sadness, whatever grieving, depression, addiction, a bad relationship, whatever it is, wear God down. Don't stop going to the just God. It's that wonderful verse that I love from Psalm 121. The psalmist cries out, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Or as today's Psalm 119 states, "How sweet are your words to my taste. They are sweeter than honey to my mouth. Therefore, through your commandments, I gain understanding. Therefore, I hate every lying way." To wear God down. Today at St. John's, I invite you to commit anew to being a people of prayer. And I encourage you to continue to go to God with that prayer that may weigh heavily on your heart this day, either for yourself, your family, a loved one, a situation. God will listen to you. Do not give up that perseverance. Look to the widow as a great example of one who did not stop. Worship with us on Sundays, or if not, or in addition, on Wednesdays, or on special days. Set aside time daily when you can't be here, and even if you can be here, to pray to God. A practical life of prayer grounded in the truth of Jesus Christ. Live in that truth and do not lose heart by the untruthfulness of society. Rather, live your life in a way that affects all for the glory of God, because you don't give up on prayer. And believe that the truth shall make you free. Amen.